Hope you all had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Almost. We're almost there. 2019 has kind of flown by, right? It's been one of those whirlwind years. And we're really glad we're here. I never thought I would say to the Lord that I'm thankful that I get to live in Texas. Now, I know that might come as a surprise to all you Texans who love Texas, right? But it is good to live in Texas. We're thankful. So, and we're glad to be a part of this church family. We're so blessed to just be one of y'all, right? To just be part of the family.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job saying y'all.
Y'all. All y'all. All y'all. I'm getting it. Yeah. My son's wearing boots. Did you see? He got boots for Christmas. He's all about it. Check him out later. He's the real deal. So if you're here this morning and you didn't realize it's Family Sunday, right? The fifth Sunday of every month, which happens four times a year, is our Family Sunday. And we love it because we get to gather together as the family of God, right? And we get to worship with the little kiddos and everyone from then all the way up. And it's just good to gather and praise our Lord together. So this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. All right, we're going to still be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you need a Bible, put your hands up. If you brought one, turn it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But this morning, we're going to be doing something a little different because instead of a sermon, I'm going to be interviewing some folks who are going to take us through the verses that Paul writes here at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And these folks are going to help us hear the Word of God. They're going to hear these scriptures. They're going to encourage us with stories from their ministries, and they're going to share their heart about some of the things that God is doing here at High Point. I often hear this like, we don't know all the things that are happening at High Point, because there's a lot. And there's a lot of things happening in the lives of you believers that we could never share. But we just want to encourage us as we wrap up 2019 to just thank the Lord for His faithfulness. There's a lot of things happening, and there's a lot of beautiful, wonderful things. And we just want to encourage you with those things as we wrap up this year. If you've been coming to High Point for any number of years, you've probably heard our mission statement. Now, should I test you? This could go poorly. We'll see. It's three words. Anybody want to take a stab at it? Connect, John McCoy's. I wish I had another Andy's gift card for you guys. Good job. Connect, grow, and go. That is the mission of High Point Fellowship, right? That's how we accomplish the vision that God has given us for our community, which the vision is a home of help, hope, and healing, right? You guys knew that one because it's on the wall when you walk in. The word connect reminds us that Christianity is about relationships, right? Relationships with God, and not just a relationship with God, but relationships with one another. Because God wants our relationships with Him and with one another to be grounded in Christ. He wants them to be meaningful relationships. And our hope and our desire is that High Point Fellowship is a community of people who love and serve God and each other. And some of the ministries that accomplish the connect part of our mission are our welcome team, Celebrate Recovery, our prayer team, Senior Connect, Grief Share, Stephen Ministry, Men's and Women's Ministries, our Quilting and Knitting Group. And did you know we have a camping ministry? Some of you hang out in there, yeah? So again, I hope that as you hear about some of these things this morning, that you would just be encouraged of all the things that the Lord is doing. And maybe say, I didn't know there was a camping ministry. I want to go camp with other believers, right? Then the grow part of our mission statement reminds us that God accepts us as we are, but He doesn't intend to leave us there, right? We are called to grow in our faith, grow in maturity, grow in our likeness of Christ. God wants us to grow in love, in our character, in spiritual maturity. And here at High Point, our desire is that we would grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus by learning what it means to walk with Him, to depend on Him in every area of our lives. Some of the ministries that accomplish this here at High Point
are our preaching team, the worship ministry, Bible studies and home groups, youth group, his kids, High Hopes preschool, High Hopes sports and after school, men's and women's Bible studies, and our dynamic marriage course. And then lastly, the go in our mission statement reminds us that we are called to reach out to our community and to the world with the love of Jesus Christ. And our hope is that we would be constantly reminded that we are to be a demonstration of God's love for others through compassion, through acts of service, through caring for those that God puts in our midst, in our communities. Whether that be in our neighborhood, whether that be in our workplace, or all the way to the ends of the earth. God has given you a heart and a desire and a passion to serve others. And our hope is that we would use that desire and that passion to bring the hope of Jesus to others. Some of the ministries that accomplish this mission here at High Point are the Hearts for the Homeless Ministry, Operation Christmas Child, Literacy Partners, Perspectives, Hill Country Community Ministries, and the Christian Resource Center. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you would turn there, we're going to finish out our letter. We're going to finish out our series this morning. And let's hear from some of the folks in our church about how we can live faithfully and with expectant hope until He comes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scripture passage. These folks have been assigned a few verses in this last part of 1 Thessalonians 5. And then I've given them interview questions. And as a preface, I don't know the answers, right? They came up with these answers on their own. But our hope is that as we talk, as we hear about what the Lord is doing, that Paul and these folks in our church would encourage you with the word and what the Lord is doing here this year. So the first couple verses we're going to look at, let me pull up a stool here. Ah, that's better. We're going to look at verse 12 and 13 of chapter 5. It'll be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. He says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." So this is Casey Verner. Hi, Casey. Oh, I meant to grab that for you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Casey is a representative from our shepherding team. And the shepherds here at High Point, they serve the spiritual needs of the church. They will come pray with you. If you're sick and you want to be anointed with oil, or you're in the hospital and you want to be visited, or you just need somebody to talk to, the shepherds are here to encourage, to build you up, and to serve the body, the larger body of Christ here at High Point. So thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me put you on the spot, too.
I like you.
Yeah. He didn't say you're welcome for that one, but that's okay. All right, Casey. So in these first two verses, Paul reminds the Thessalonians to respect the spiritual leaders that the Lord has given them. Why is that important for us to remember that truth, even when those leaders warn us about spiritual or sinful practices in our lives?
So the reason that we have to be reminded
yes.
of these things, that was the question.
Yes, sir.
Is because, like the Thessalonians, we have a tendency to forget. So we need to be reminded that God has placed leaders in our lives and within the church for specific purposes and with certain giftings. And we need to remember that they're there for our benefit and our edification, even though sometimes they may be correction involved and that's not any fun. We still need to remember that they are answering God's call in their life to have that position within the church, within our own lives. So that's the reason is we have to be reminded because we forget those things, and we need to continue to love them and not forget the position that they hold in the church and in our lives.
Amen. Thank you.
You're good?
Thank you. Yeah, so don't get mad when we chastise you a little bit, right?
That's right.
You know, Paul talks a lot about peace, about unity, about the body of Christ being together. Why are peace and unity so important in the life of the church?
Again, like the Thessalonians, we live in a time of division in our culture. And within the church, it's not to be that way. We need to lead lives of unity, and we do that when we focus on what we all have in common, which is Christ as the head of the church. So when we focus on what we have in common, then we can come together and be in unity. It's when we take individually and try to separate ourselves out and to identify ourselves in something other than Christ followers, that's when division occurs. So when we remain in unison in the love of Christ and placing him as the head of the church, we focus on what we have in common, then we can come together. And that's important for the church.
Yes, and Paul thinks that's exceptionally important, right? Because he says it over and over and over again. Thank you. So we have grievances with one another from time to time, right? We rub each other the wrong way. What does Paul say that we can do to live in peace with one another if we have a grievance against someone here in the church?
The word grievance is it means to toil. It's like a long running, weary, grinding down type of job.
You did a word.
That's a grievance. It's not a, there's a word. There's a word in the Old Testament. It's in Habakkuk.
You got it.
Chapter 1, verse 3. In the King James Version, that's the only place you'll find the word grievance in the Old Testament. And it means a wearying, a wearing down, a toiling away. It's not just a one-time thing. So if you have a grievance with someone, it's something that's been ongoing for a while. And it's important to get those things resolved between you and the person that's causing you this grief, rather than let it just continue to gnaw at you, because that then causes a rift between you and that person, and then you are no longer in unity in the body. So it has to be something that you need to let be known to that person, that they are grieving you. And not just let it go or to sweep it under the rug. Because this is, a grievance is something that goes on for quite a long time and not just a brief, you know, word spoken in haste.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a grievance. It's a long-running problem.
So go make your relationships right? If you have a grievance, Paul says go deal with it.
Yeah. That's right.
Thank you.
And you go deal with the person that's causing you that grief one-to-one. And in the love of Christ.
In the love, that is important. That's the key, right?
A key thing in everything we do is the love of Christ is what brings us together. And that's when you go to, I don't like to use the word confront, but when you go to address a grievance with a fellow brother or sister, it is done in love for the purpose of unity.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's give Casey a hand.
Thank you.
Thanks, Casey. I would encourage you, if you need counsel from our shepherds, find a shepherd after church. They would love to pray with you. They would love to encourage you and build you up. They're here to serve you. Take advantage. It's a wonderful group of folks. The next couple of verses we're going to look at are verses 14 and 15, if you would follow along. Paul says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." So our next person, interviewee, that is Esther Long. Come on up, Esther. Welcome. Esther is a representative from our youth ministry here at High Point, right? You get to hang out with T-Dubs?
Yes.
Yes. And you are in what grade?
I'm in 11th, so I'm a junior.
Junior. And you're almost done.
Yes.
You feeling good about that?
No.
I like to put high schoolers on the spot, you know. Yeah, you got another year and a half or so. Yeah, it's plenty of time.
Okay.
All right, Esther. Well, thank you for being willing to let me put you on the spot. So Paul talks about encouraging the faint-hearted and helping the weak. How can we, as the church, grow in some of those areas of encouraging the faint-hearted and helping the weak?
So usually you have to be aware that somebody is like struggling or being faint-hearted. So being aware of the people around you and how they are acting and if they need your help. And then if you realize that they need your help or that they're faint-hearted, just ask them what you can do for them. And asking them, and if they tell you, then you can just do what they tell you to do because that helps them. And also kindness always helps people. So either a smile or a greeting, that can always be great.
Nice. Excellent. And again, I'm kind of hearing you say relationships, right? We have to have relationships with one another to know the things that are going on in each other's lives. If we're going to build each other up, we have to allow people in to our lives and not keep those barriers up that say, ooh, I don't want someone to really know who I am. So thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul tells the Thessalonians to be patient with these folks, right? Those that are faint-hearted, those who are weak, those who are struggling. Why does Paul tell the Thessalonians to be patient with these kind of folks?
Sometimes these people, they just need time and they need somebody to just be there for them. And sometimes it's hard to be patient in those times, but patience is a way for you to show that God and Jesus are in you and that they are shining through. And patience is like a window into your heart so that they can see Jesus and they can see that he's in your heart and that he's shining through. And so that's what patience can do.
Amen. Because sometimes those people are difficult for us, right?
Yes.
It's difficult to be patient with those that are struggling, but the Lord is encouraging us to do that. So, and then lastly, what are some practical ways that we as the church can do good to one another?
I just guess connect with each other. So we are a church of varying age groups, and I guess whenever younger people talk to the older people or older people connect with the younger people, it's a good way to help each other and do good for each other whenever you can talk to somebody that's not your own age get to know them.
I will tell you, I was floored by this answer at first service because I love it. I love it so much. And adults, I want you to hear something that she's saying. She, as a high schooler, is telling you that she wants you to know her. And I was a youth pastor for 15 years. And time and time again, I would tell the older folks in the church, like, get to know the younger kids. They want wisdom and people to mentor them and love them and just encourage them, right? And she is telling you today, she's giving you permission to come accost her in love and find out who Esther is. Get to know her, right? That is what we need in the church, right? It's such a great answer. And I'm so encouraged by that because I think there's this tendency to feel like the older people don't bring anything to the table or the younger people don't want the older people, but you're saying, no, let's do that, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Esther. Let's give her a hand, folks. All right, let's read verses 16 through 22. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I'm going to invite Alexa Spencer to come on up, Alexa. Yeah. Got it? There you go, sweetheart. Alexa is a representative from our His Kids ministry, but soon to be not in His Kids. Right? Because what grade are you?
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade. Junior high is coming. Are you ready?
I'm excited.
She's very excited. Thank you for being up here, sweetheart. So what do you think it means when Paul says to rejoice always? How do we have joy all the time?
What I think rejoice always means is to be joyful that God wants us to be with him and letting my joy show to others.
Amen. Thank you. And then he says to pray without ceasing. Pray like all the time. What does that mean for you?
What I think to pray without ceasing means is to have a conversation with God throughout my day, telling him how I feel when I am sad or going through rough times, and him telling me that he will always be there for me no matter what.
Awesome, awesome. So you could pray to God anytime you want, right? When you're at school, hanging out with your family, when you're sitting on stage with the pastor at church, right? Right. Awesome. So what have we been given? What is something that the church and us as individuals have been given that would cause us to give thanks in all circumstances?
That's easy. Jesus. And after Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Woo! Amen. Thank you. Because we have Christ, we can give thanks for all things, even when things aren't so good, right? Mm-hmm. Good. And then the last question, sweetheart, is how can his kids' ministry, how can the kids in his kids be an example of holding fast to what is good to the adults here?
Because every Sunday we start with worship, singing and dancing, and just praising God with all our heart. Also, our teachers are great at teaching us God's word to us. But just like the adults, we have to live and experience his words.
Excellent, excellent. Don't you love the way kids just get it? Can I encourage you, church? Remember the childlike faith, right? This is a picture of God's grace and love to you. And it's a beautiful thing to be reminded that this is the kind of faith he's called us to have, right? Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Good job. All right. Then we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Amen. We're going to invite Nina Pena up. Yep, you can give her a hand. Yep, we love Nina. Now, until last summer, Nina was our children's director, children's pastor for his kids, and the director of the High Hopes Preschool. But in the summer, she was given a little bit of a promotion, a big promotion. And she is now the executive director of both the High School Preschool, High Hopes Preschool, and High Hopes Sports and Athletics. That's a lot of High Hopes. Woo! But we love it. We love it. And we're so glad that you're in that position. So thank you.
Thank you.
So in these next couple verses, Paul is concerned with the growth of believers' entire lives, right? Spirit, soul, and body. In what ways does High Hopes seek to help these kids that are going through your program grow in these kind of areas?
Well, the preschool is ages 2 to 5, and our after-school camps are 5 to 12. So we get, we start in the morning with the preschool, and then after school we get to see the babes, the bigger babes. But we are a licensed program, so we have structure. We have intentional time scheduled for, the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, all the way to homework support. And but we, in the middle of all that, we are teaching the Bible. We are pouring into them. We're discipling them. We're giving them skills on how to deal with the emotional things, and how to work things out, work out conflict, all that sort of stuff. We're loving them, and we're not just building relationship with them, but we're building relationship with the families.
Amen. Thank you. So what are some ways that the High Point family can encourage and build up and serve the High Hopes family as they help these kids grow in their relationship with Jesus?
Well, we do a great job already, but I do have some ideas, but I want to brag a little bit. So our staff, our pastor, staff team, they do adopt a preschool classroom every year, and they pray for the team, the teaching team, and for the children and families. They also pray with the teams, whether it be in the morning or the afternoon. We also have the women's Bible study, the Wednesday group. They do support the ministries by giving a wonderful edible treats, and even though it's not the word, it is good food. and then we also have a small group of ladies that come out on Monday evenings once a week, and they read to the kindergartners upstairs. So there's a variety of things that are being done. But the The most important is I do ask for prayer, for sure, for our team that pours into the children, that pours out to the families. And then I also ask for, if you have a gift, a talent you'd like to share with High Hopes, whether it be with the preschool age or the after school, the school agers, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to connect on how we can partner together. So for instance, Ebony with Hearts for the Homeless came to us and said, we'd like to get support from High Hopes and vice versa. So we did. The kids had a great time upstairs, the after school team, and they were in their own groups, and they raised or they collected goods for that particular group. So it could be toothbrushes for the kindergartners and mouthwash for another group, that sort of thing. So there was a competition, of course, because everybody needs that a little bit, right? But it was fun. So they blessed the homeless with over 200 bags of goodies, but what it did in the meantime was it blessed the children and the families doing that. And even though it was fun and it was there was a little bit of a competition, it was a gift to everybody.
Awesome. So if you're part of a ministry here at High Point, come find Nina. She would love to give you some ideas. Yes, awesome. Why don't you just share with us some of the ways you've seen God's faithfulness over this past year is throughout the High Hopes Ministries. You know, how has he been faithful to us?
Well, I've always believed that ever since I experienced High Hopes, I believe that it is a ministry that God designed not just for the community, a service to the community, but it is also designed to serve the people that serve the community. And so everyone employed is a believer. We have the same faith. However, everybody's in a different place, in a different walk. And what I've experienced this summer, summer camp, is that our folks, our team upstairs, were struggling, and it was a hard summer. But what happened and what was beautiful was that they became closer to God, and the word became flesh to them, is what one person would describe it. And another person said, I wanted to ditch this place as soon as things got hard, and yet he stuck it out. And when he's getting ready to go to college, he says, this is my favorite place to work. So now he's back for Christmas break and working at camp. And so I've seen life happen even amongst the people that were already believers. And so it's been wonderful to see that growth. Down at the preschool community, the teacher team were pretty solid, but it noticed the community level grow. And so now they're connecting in new ways with the after-school team and support with prayer and encouragement. And so what happens is what I've seen is as the grown-ups, as the team is growing and as they are being fed and filled and sanctified, that fruit continues to trickle down to the children and into the children and out to the families.
Amen. Thank you guys. Thank you, Nina. We are so grateful for the High Hopes Ministries and all that the Lord is doing there. So appreciate you. And then we're going to close with verses 25 through 28. Paul says, brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I'm going to invite up Melissa Ivy. Melissa is, come on up. Melissa is representing the go part of our mission statement, and she is going to go with us to Norway in May. So she's on the missions team, and super excited?
Super excited.
Little nervous?
Little nervous. It's going to be cold, right?
Pretty cold. Yeah, even in May. Yeah, I think the high will be like 50 or so.
All right, lots of thermals.
Yeah. So we just want to start off by saying, you know, why is it so important for us to be praying, not just for the church family here, but for all the brothers and sisters that we have around the world?
Well, first of all, I think of praying for friends and family and loved ones, encouragement, blessing, salvation for those that, you know, need that. And but when I think about the mission trip and going to Norway and knowing that Norway, there's not a lot of Christians there, And how difficult it would be to pray in public or to show their faith in public. And so just praying that more Christians come about and that they have a community like this that they can come together and worship God to.
Right. Mm-hmm. So again, Paul talks about unity a lot. We've seen it all throughout the letter. He wants the church to stay connected. What are some ways that we can do that practically in the church, in our community of Cedar Park, Leander, and really all the way around the world? What are some ways that we can do that?
Well, in the church, obviously, we can stay connected with each other. Being part of small groups is important. Taking advantage of different ministries we have, like Dynamic Marriage, which will start next fall. And in the community, not necessarily having to be a part of a Christian group. I had the opportunity to do an event called Live for Tomorrow. I hosted the event, and it was on suicide prevention, and we had it on Suicide Prevention Day. And it was sponsored by several groups, but the Leander City Council was there, and they're encouraging me to do it every year. I don't want to say unfortunately, but to do it every year. So I'm excited about that, the more information. And around the world, we just need to be generous when we're thinking of community. We need to be generous with our time, space, sympathy, emotions, our physical strength, and our money.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And that's an amazing thought, right, church? You can simply be a Christian in whatever God has given you passion for, whether it's live for today or, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, right? Serve the Lord in what you've been called to do, and be of that light, even in non-Christian organizations. That's an amazing connection. So. And lastly, verse 27 talks about the hope that we have found both in this letter and really throughout God's Word. And that hope needs to be shared with other Christians, with other people, with those who don't know Christ. What has God done in your own heart to help grow your desire to share the hope of Jesus with those who don't know him?
I've always felt a strong connection and guidance with God, whether I liked where he wanted me to go or not. And recently, I quit my job to do a full-time home base job. And I knew that there was a reason, even though it didn't look good on paper, there was a reason why I was going to stay home. And on October 31st, CPS brought my niece's children to me, a 2 and a 1-year-old. Oof, I'm not telling
Surprise!
You that's easy. but I know they're there for a reason, and they're with family. With family. And I get to pray with her and teach her how to pray. Which is very special.
Take a minute. Nowhere. We got nowhere to be.
So anyways, they're very special. But also, my desire for hope. So also having this guy over for dinner, I asked him about missions and how he got into ministry. But Brandon's passion for mission trips was so great that it planted a seed in my heart. And then when this Norway mission came up, I've never been on a mission ever before in my life. So why not go to Norway first, right? I was just like, that's what I need to do. And again, it's just God wants me to do that. So yeah, that's what I said. Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. So if you have me over for dinner, you too will go on. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Melissa. Let's give her a hand. Well, we're so thankful for all you folks letting me put you on the spot and going through Scripture this way. It's kind of a different way for all of us, but I want to encourage you with just a few last thoughts here. New Year's is upon us, right? In a few days, it's going to be 2020. 2020. And my hope and prayer is that this year, the folks of High Point Fellowship would connect with God, with others. They would grow in their relationship with Jesus, and they would go and take the hope and the joy that they've been given into every corner of the community and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus Christ, we've learned throughout this series that he's promised to return, right? We know with full confidence that he will return like he said he would. And until he comes, we should be a people who desire to live out our faith by loving God and loving others, by connecting and growing and going in these different ministries that he's given us, and maybe even in ways that we haven't expected yet, that we haven't seen yet. Because the Lord can do incredible things with a community of believers that are saying, Lord, we want you to be glorified, you to be exalted first and foremost. And if he's called you to this church family, if God has called you to be a part of this church, he hasn't called you to come on Sunday and find a seat that you call your own, and that's it. He's called you to serve alongside us. He's called you to be a part of the family of God here in Cedar Park, Texas. And whatever that means for you, it means that you're called to come and join what God is doing here. To not just simply sit on the side and say, all right, feed me. No, you come get fed so that you can go out and serve. So that you could be a light in the darkness, church. That's why we do what we do here. So I want to close with this thought. Grace is God's free gift to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus lived for us a life that we couldn't live. He died for us a death that we didn't deserve, so that we might receive a forgiveness for which we did not pay, and an eternal fellowship with him that we did not earn. All given to us freely because of God's incredible love for us. Throughout this letter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul has been reminding us that our growth in the Lord, our maturity in the faith, and our sanctification and holiness is dependent upon God's grace being at work within us. So Paul concludes this letter to the Thessalonians by saying, grace to you. Grace to you. He's calling us back to the gospel, to the grace that was given to us in God's word. And John Stott said this. He said, if a local church is to become a gospel church, it must not only receive the gospel and pass it on, but also embody it in a community life of mutual love. Nothing but the grace of Jesus Christ can accomplish this. So church, High Point, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May God's grace be with you this year in 2020. We are so thankful that you're part of our church family. We're so thankful that we get to gather here and worship freely in this place. And we are praying that 2020 is an incredible year. Because God is here among us, pouring his grace into our lives so that we can be a community of hope and of joy until he comes in glory. Amen? Let's pray together, church. Lord Jesus, you've given us everything because you've given us yourself. And because of that sacrifice, because of the life you lived, because of the resurrection, we have grace, undeserved favor in the sight of God. We are set free. Lord, as we think back on 2019 and we see your goodness unfolding, we look forward to 2020 with anticipation. First, that you would come and return and fix all this mess. But until you do, Lord, that we would be a people who live with expectant hope. That we would be a people who live in light of your coming. Not concerned with all the things of this world, but concerned about your kingdom, your will. May it be done on earth as it is in heaven, here in High Point as it is in heaven. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus, your church says. Amen. Well, church, we're going to enter into a time of communion. And over this next song, we're gonna pass out the trays. And we want to give you just an opportunity to take communion together as a family. So if you're sitting with your immediate family, you're going to take the elements, you're going to pray together, you're going to take those elements on your own. And if you're here without your family, don't worry. This is still your family because you've been given the body of Christ to be the family that you need. So I would say, if you're not here with your immediate family, turn to your neighbors. Turn to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray together. Take the bread. Take the cup. Take it together. And thank the Lord that Jesus Christ is everything that He said He was going to be. And He has done everything for us to have salvation and life eternal with Him forever. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And He's called us to be a faithful people who live that truth out in the middle of this darkness that we live in. So as we sing, let's praise. As you receive the elements, hold on to them and take them in your little clusters on your own. No one's going to lead you. Take them on your own. And as the song ends, the trays will be passed to collect the cups. And then we'll continue to worship our Lord together. We are thankful for you, family. Thankful that we get to be here worshiping our God together. Let's sing His praise. Let's give Him glory. Because He is the only one that's due His name. Amen.